Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
One of the legendary figures in the NBA, one of the legendary figures in Cleveland sports, passed away at the age of 88, and that is former Cavs player. I think many people forget that Lenny was a Cavs player, and Cavs coach Lenny Wilkins at the age of 88. A gentleman who played for Lenny, I know has a deep affection for Lenny, joins us right now on the fan hotline, and it's former Cavs point guard Mark Price. Mark, great to have you back with us today.
Good to be with you, Jeff.
What did you think when you heard the rough news about Lenny? 88 years old, I think we'd all say, thank you, I'll take 88 right now. But still, it's a rough thing when a guy who meant so much to so many in our town passes away.
Yeah, I hadn't had an opportunity to watch many of the games or anything on Sunday. And so I flipped on SportsCenter, early evening just to kind of check on some scores. And that was the first thing that popped up when I turned the TV on was, the breaking news that Lenny had passed. And so it caught me, hit me pretty hard right then and there. I knew Lenny was having some health issues, but like you said, you're never quite ready when it happens. And obviously, Lenny had an impact on, many people's lives in Cleveland, but in particular for me, the time I got to spend 7 years with Lenny, and our relationship as player coach and friends and everything else. And it was a sad day for sure.
Mark, you came into the NBA as a rookie. This team, when you came in, that was to me the beginning of a great era of Cavs basketball. Lenny's first year, you, Brad Doherty, Hot Rod, Ron Harper, Johnny Newman, all rookies, with a guy who had already won an NBA title as a coach, had coached for 13 years, and was a former point guard. It couldn't have been a better hire by Wayne Embry, I wouldn't think, for the right guy at the right time with the right group. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I don't know if Lenny had ever been put in that situation before, because like you said, he had just, not too far in the past, had coached Seattle to a championship, so He was used to coaching championship level teams, and that go into a total rebuilding situation with five rookies. I'm sure it was challenging, but with Lenny's personality and his calmness and just the way he went about business, he definitely was the perfect guy. He showed a lot of patience with us all that first year, and you know, really set the tone for what we were able to accomplish moving forward.
Mark Price joining us on the hotline. Mark, what did you learn from Lenny Wilkins about playing the point guard position that really stuck with you?
Well, obviously, Lenny was a great player himself, and so I could trust the fact that it was a guy that's been there and done that. You know, for me, even though I was a good player in college, I knew that NBA level was a big step up, and a lot of people, frankly, you know, didn't see me as a guy that was going to stick around very long, obviously. A lot of people passed on me in the draft, my size, whatever it might be. But I got to give Wayne Embry and Lenny Wilkins, you know, so much credit, because I think they gave me an opportunity in Cleveland that I might not have gotten many other places. And they saw what I brought to the table, my ability to shoot the ball. And Lenny, I remember him saying, you know, I heard him say it in a few interviews when asked about me. And he said, well, I knew I could teach Mark some of the other things, but it's rare to find a guy that can shoot like he can. And I think Lenny saw that was going to be an advantage. He was a little bit ahead of the curve because, you know, you got to go back when I came in 86. You know, the idea of a point guard in the NBA was different. It was, you know, a guy that ran the team, got the ball to the right people, maybe make a shot when you're open from time to time. And yet I came in, you know, out of college with a scoring mentality, and Lenny didn't want to take that away from me, but also add the other pieces. And so, you know, to learn from a guy like that and a mentor, the pick and roll, I'd never played pick and roll basketball in college. And so, and that became my bread and butter, that really was a game changer for me at the NBA level. So give a lot of credit to Lenny Wilkins for giving me that opportunity.
You know, Mark, that's the one thing about your game. And when I look back on it, I think Lenny couldn't have been a better fit for you, because Lenny was kind of a scoring point guard before scoring point guards became anything. I think people forget, as good as he was at passing the ball, and he led the league in assists a couple of times, nine-time All-Star, he averaged 16.5 points a game for his career. And I don't think people remember that about him. Had a couple of 20-point scoring seasons.
Yeah. He was a really good player, and you're right. He was ahead of the curve when it came to scoring point guards. So, you know, it was a real blessing for me to get to play for him. And the other thing about Lenny was that, you know, he was fair. He was, you know, the integrity that he had, because, you know, after, you know, I was a backup my rookie season, and then they drafted Kevin Johnson the following year in the draft at number 6, I believe it was. And for anybody that follows basketball, NBA basketball, whatever, you draft a lottery pick, they're expected to play, and in most instances expected to start. And so it wasn't looking good for me there for a while, because I was, John Bagley was still on the roster who started. They drafted Kevin Johnson. NBA teams don't keep 3-point guards. And yet I remember Lenny let me know, along with Dick Helm, his top guy, that they thought it was a good opportunity for me. They didn't go into detail with that, but, you know, in my mind, I felt like, you know, they're going to give me a shot at this thing. And to Lenny's credit, allowed me an opportunity to compete for that starting position going into my second year. And I was able to win that in the preseason, and to Lenny's credit, he allowed me to do that. So that's something that you didn't see a lot happen in the NBA.
Mark, with that thought in mind, I want to take you back to a story you won't remember. It was that summer when they drafted Kevin, and my parents lived in the same place that you lived in. I wasn't working here yet, and I was home on vacation with my parents, and I'm in the swimming pool with Sam Amico, who you know Sam, and Sam is a longtime buddy of mine. Sam was a kid. And so we're swimming, you're there, and we go over to you and we start talking basketball with you a little bit. And, you know, I was working in Texas as a sportscaster, and I thought, let's leave this guy alone. He doesn't need to be talking basketball. And Sam, the kid, says, Mark, they drafted this point guard. Why did they draft a point guard? And you said, I don't know why they did either, because I'm going to beat him out. And I'm sure you don't remember that, but you said it. And I thought at the time and since, I thought that Lenny's part of that because he gave you the confidence to feel that way about your game.
Yeah, it really was. And, you know, I had a great relationship with Lenny. Matter of fact, when you Googled after, you know, Lenny's death, a lot of places, the first picture that popped up was a picture of Lenny and me and just kind of talking during a game. And Lenny kind of coaching me. And that was just, you know, an iconic picture because that's really how our relationship was. It wasn't a Lenny yelling at me kind of thing or whatever, but it was just, I was an extension of him on the floor. We would talk during games, you know, and to Lenny's credit, because I think Lenny, because he was a great player himself, he understood the fact that the coaches on the sidelines can only see so much of what's going on the floor. But the point guards out there, and I remember, you know, often during games, you know, how things were going or flowing, Lenny might say, "Hey, Mark, what are you seeing out there?" He would listen to what I had to say, and sometimes he would take my thoughts and sometimes he didn't. But we had that kind of relationship, a respect for one another, to try to find a way to make our team better, an opportunity to win those games. And I just loved, obviously Lenny's IQ was off the charts. And so just to talk basketball with him, even in the course and the heat of a game, was awesome.
So is that, basically, that's what made that offense click, was just the ability of you had that relationship and that rapport with Lenny, and he had that basketball brain and yours as well combined, because, boy, it was such beautiful basketball watching you guys play. And I got to take a half step back on that as well, Mark. I'm 37. I can't think of a world where somebody wouldn't play pick and roll basketball. Just that idea that you didn't come from a pick and roll system breaks my brain.
Well, you know, like I said, I'm, you know, unfortunately showing my age, but I mean, you go back to that era of college basketball, even high school. I mean, the pick and roll, that was, people just didn't play that way. It was more of like motion, you know, motion offenses and passing and cutting and not utilizing, you know, your big guys other than screeners and things like that. But so it opened a whole new world for me, you know, particularly playing with Brad and Larry and Hot Rod, having 7-footers. You know, knocking my guys off and opened me up for jump shots. And then when I established how good a shooter I was, of course, the bigs would have to jump out and it opened up passing lanes. And I mean, it was like my eyes got big as saucers, man. I was like, man, where has this been all my life? And I told, you know, after I'd been in the league a couple of years, I called my college coach, Bobby Crimmins at Georgia Tech. And I was like, coach, man, what were you thinking? We had John Sally. And I mean, I'm like, we could have been doing this all in college, but he got a big kick out of that. But yeah, it was great. It wasn't, you know, happening at the lower levels. And now, of course, grade schoolers are running pick and roll offense. So
the one thing about that offense, Mark, and I've always said this whenever anybody's asked me, you know, what offense did you like? It was Lenny's offense with your group, because the spacing on the floor was incredible. The ball movement was great. A lot of it based in the pick and roll, obviously, but the body movement as well. And it seemed like you guys were able to get a good shot anytime you wanted them based on the, you know, the principles that Lenny put in with spacing and ball movement.
Yeah. The word space, that was a huge key. And Lenny talked about that a lot. That was a, you know, embedded in what we did to give each other space to operate. And then when you draw on a second defender, you just make the right play. And our team was so good at that. And, you know, it was in an era where the 3-point shot wasn't taken as much as it is now. I laugh because twice I led the league in 3-pointers attempted at 5 a game. And so that's like a first quarter stat now.
And that's, I mean, cute, isn't it, Mark?
I mean, the Cavs watched shot 67 threes last night.
Yeah. It was in the 60s.
Yeah, something crazy. And I'm like, you know, so we didn't do that. So we were scoring, you know, it wasn't unusual for us to score 115, 120 points a game, not taking hardly any threes. And that just shows how well we moved the ball and spacing, and the ball found the open man. And we just never had problems scoring the basketball.
Mark Price joining us on the Fan Hotline. Legendary Cavaliers guard. Always appreciate his time and talking to him. Mark, do you see a world in the modern NBA where you could have a guy like Brad Doherty again, where you could kind of dump it down to the post in him and let him operate and run an offense through that? Or is that from a bygone era?
Well, I think I could see it still happen. I think there's hope in the fact that there's basically one team in the league that still does that a little bit, and that's Denver. They got an MVP candidate every year in Jokic, and they do play through him a lot. Albeit more in the high post area necessarily than maybe the low post. But when he's down in the low post, he obviously can score the ball. And so, I miss that style of basketball. I mean, there are so many great big men, from Brad to Patrick Ewing to Elijah Wan to David Robinson. I mean, you just go down every team, it seemed like, had a 7-footer that if you didn't double team him, he was going to score down in the low post. And so that opened up opportunities to kick outs and spacing and swinging the ball. But I don't know. The game tends to change, over the years from time to time. Right now it's a guard heavy, 3-point shooting heavy league. Maybe a team comes along and wins one with a good low post player, and the league starts copycatting that. So who knows? But right now it doesn't look like anytime soon it's going to go back to that.
Mark Price joining us. Mark, what did it mean for your rookie group, you, Brad, Hot Rod, and then later, Larry Nance coming in, Craig Elo, part of that team, to have a guy like Lenny, who I characterized when we chatted about him yesterday, he had such a high character and high integrity, a guy like that to lead you through the early part of your career and clearly form what was a team of really good guys who really knew how to play the game.
Yeah, Lenny was great. I tell people this all the time, and I played for a lot of really good coaches in my career, but I think Lenny, probably of all the coaches that I played for, of managing a season, particularly an 82-game season, there weren't a lot of super highs and the super lows with Lenny. It was basically one game at a time, win or lose, whatever, close game, blowout, whatever. Yesterday's game was yesterday's game, and we got the next game tomorrow. And he was just had a great way of kind of, not letting you get too hyped and not letting you get too upset. And just kind of, he was so calm during all those situations one way or the other. And it really, worked well for our guys and our team.
Mark, always great to talk to you. I hate to talk to you under these circumstances, but your thoughts on Lenny, I know, mean an awful lot to basketball fans here in Northeast Ohio. So thank you for sharing them. We appreciate it, buddy. And as always, hate it, buddy. And
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Nice win for the Cavs. If I could not turn my mic off by accident, Lima's upset with me. Take it away.
No, well, after hearing that from Kenny Atkinson, what's he got against Jared Allen? There was one heroic performance last night. Jared Allen puts up 30 and 10 after
Jared Allen on his way out.
After he gets benched in all these fourth quarters, he's playing the least amount of minutes of all the quarters for him in the fourth. He's only playing like 3 minutes a night. He has that as a pro. He's huge defensively. And his coach says there was only one hero last night. It wasn't him.
We had one heroic performance, Craig Porter Jr. That's incredible. And that,
what is that? Well, does what he is expect, going on?
Does he expect Jared Allen to step up? Well, wait a minute.
To
here
go
now.
30 and 10?
I didn't think it was going to go this way here. I was ready for a fight, and now I'm not ready for a fight. Now I'm getting a little bit confused here. All right, first things first. Maybe he thought that Jared Allen was capable of that, and he didn't think that Craig Porter Jr. was capable of that. Is that fair?
So he thinks he's capable of it, but he's been benching him in all the fourth quarters. So we're not playing our best player in the fourth quarters? What's the disconnect here?
I don't know. I'm not Kenny Atkinson. I can't answer that question. Now, can I? I've gotten much better at going, it's not my point to explain that. Why do I need to explain that? I don't need to explain that. I'm getting used to your tricks of you trying to walk me into things that I don't want to explain.
604.58, and you were in the corner already.
Who, me?
Yeah, just backed right into it.
I was wondering. What do you mean I was backed into a corner? I was just wondering. That's all I was doing. That's all I was.
Don't ask questions of the wizard if you don't have a plan to get out of it.
No. He's right. You got to know an answer before you ask the question. He's right about that. I've learned that specifically with working with him. However, I was just saying, well, I mean, Jared Allen is paid like a guy who would be capable of doing such things. Wouldn't you expect Jared Allen to be capable of doing such things? The fourth quarter stuff, that's very, very true. That's very true. Now, what did you want to get on me about here?
Okay, so we, every day, we try to think about, all right, just because a game happened last night, does that necessarily mean that's what we lead with at six? Because if there's significant Browns news, if there's something going on in the NFL, if there's something that we think the most amount of people will want to talk about. But a lot of times, it's just the game that happened last night. So, rewind back to Tuesday, the Cavs play on Monday, have a horrific, horrific loss to the Miami Heat. They don't have Hero. They don't have Bam. And we go out there, you have the Garland news, there's lots of things happening surrounding the Cavs, and we lead the show with it, and we talk about, is there something wrong with the Cavs? What is going on? What's with Darius Garland? Is this going to be something that plagues the team for the year? Why are they losing these games? Why does our offense seem so disjointed? Why is the defense nowhere near what it seems to have been the last few years? And then today, Ken's like, is there anything really Cavs to talk about? And I'm like, they won.
Wait a minute.
So we only care when our teams lose?
No, that isn't the case, though. I didn't want to sit there and spend 20 minutes going, hey, they won. Hey, Cavs won. I'm not just doing a segment just to say the Cavs won, just so people go, you guys never talk about the Cavs. No, I'll talk about the damn Cavs. I'll talk the hell out of the Cavs. But I'm not going to spend 20 minutes going, hey, Cavs won. Guys, Cavs won. You know what? Not going to call out somebody else for doing that. I'm just going to stick to our show. Cavs won. Do you think the Cavs win was a good win, or was it a not so good win? 2-1-6. I wasn't going to do that. That's all I was trying to point out.
We were big underdogs last night. Basically, everybody I know thought this was a punt game. We've just punted on both these games after losing the first one.
Yeah.
You know, Donovan Mitchell's in Louisville watching his team, Louisville, watching his alma mater play basketball against Kentucky. Are they even taking this seriously?
You were mad at him.
What, are we going to lose by 40?
You were mad at him for going to Louisville.
And then I didn't say I was mad at him.
You didn't seem to be thrilled.
I just questioned, you know,
like
what
the
they
level
were,
of, you didn't like the unseriousness, it seemed.
I questioned what they were trying to get out of this.
Let's
Miami.
Put you on it.
I tried to question, what are we getting out of this Miami experience?
I think
you had two games. Sometimes that's how a team bonds. You know, it's one of these weird back-to-back, but over the course of 3 days, but they had already been in Miami, so it was almost like a training camp situation.
Bunch of vets on that team. They bonded. They're bonded.
Did they?
Yeah.
While one of them was somewhere else?
They've been playing for 3 years together. They're bonded. Well, that's what I mean. They don't need to sit there and be with each other. They bonded. We don't need to go bowling or anything like that. They're all together. They know each other pretty well. They've bonded. That's my entire point.
Oh, you're saying they've already bonded?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a bonded situation. There you go.
But it just seems like Ken Garman only thinks they're newsworthy when they lose, but not when they win.
Well, that wasn't the case. That wasn't the case.
Imagine if we did that with the Browns.
I wanted you to say so. Well, we never talk about the Browns. I'm pointing out that I'm not just going to sit there for 20 minutes and say that the Cavs won and that's it. There's got to be something more than that.
Well,
to get into
I would say Kenny Atkinson really had some nice things to say about bench guys. We're wondering if some of the young guys, did we say going into the season?
Right.
One of the, hold on, you're scoffing, you're condescending, but didn't we say one of the storylines going into the season was, we already know about Darius, we know about Donovan, we know about Mobley, we know about Jared Allen, but what about the young guys? Weren't we supposed to be monitoring the young guys to see who could break through?
And
Craig Porter Jr. is called the performance was called heroic.
You're taking
by
the wrong
heroic performance.
You're
Craig
taking
Porter Jr. That's incredible. And not, you know, not to score, just the whole thing.
You're getting me all
Ken
wrong.
Ken says great.
You're getting me all wrong.
That's exactly how you said
it was great. It was great. It's great.
Great.
It's
Let's great. Move on to Browns talk.
No, that's not it. Don't you do that.
Cleveland Cavaliers. Craig Porter Jr. is the first player in Cavs history to finish a game with at least 19 points, 8 assists, 3 steals, 4 blocks.
Great.
Where were you that night?
I was in Jersey Mike's in Streetsboro.
Where were most people that night?
You tell me.
How many texts did you get about the game last night?
None.
There you go.
None.
There you go.
So did everybody miss out?
Your basketball friends.
So yeah, did everybody miss out?
I want to know where Paul Force was calling you, texting you last night about that game. I want to know from all your basketball
buddies. It sounds like
Ken's
taking pride in the fact he didn't pay attention to this game.
No, I paid attention to the game.
Oh, you did you?
Through the first half.
Yeah?
Through the first half. I'll admit.
Tell me something notable.
I'll come out and admit it.
I was going to say.
I had the game on mute. I watched it in the first half.
Fourth quarter, 1.5 minutes.
I watched the first half.
1.5 minutes into the fourth
quarter. I got nothing to tell you.
1.5 minutes into the fourth quarter, what happened yesterday?
I got nothing to tell you.
Cavs were in the bonus, and they rode that out throughout the rest of the fourth quarter.
Congratulations. Well done. Kevin Mackey would be proud. Rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Would Kevin Mackey watch the whole game?
Not last night.
Not. You know what I'm saying.
Well, he was like a scout. He ended up being an NBA scout for many
years.
Would
he have watched the whole game?
I'm sure the scouts are paying attention to the young guys.
That's a good point. I'm just pointing out, I don't think a lot of fans took yesterday seriously. I will admit, I did not. I thought it was a scheduled loss.
Well, I did too. I did too.
Then what are we fighting about? Am I getting fought about?
That in a game.
Why are you getting me into a mood before the show and carrying into the show?
This is exactly why. Because
why am
a
I
game
doing
that,
this
is why. Because a game that you thought was a scheduled loss, not only did they rally when nobody thought they would have rallied in the fourth quarter, they ended up taking it to them so much so to the point where the Heat were sitting there despondent after the game. They couldn't believe that they lost the game.
It's actually true. They were upset about things.
Like they're calling it, their fans are calling it the low point of the season.
Here's Jaime Jaquez on it.
But just wanting to be a great team, I think that's our motivation is, you know, tonight we had an opportunity. Obviously, they had a lot of guys missing, and, you know, I think that may have gotten to us. As great teams, it doesn't matter who's out there. You got to put your best foot forward, and obviously, we just didn't do that tonight.
Cavs are out there teaching other teams lessons.
Well, there's wins and lessons, not necessarily losses. Ty Lue. Okay, fine. So do I have to watch every all 48 minutes of every Cavs game
if
now?
If you're not interested, you don't have to watch any of them.
That's...
What happened to the Ken? Used to be man of the people. Michael Stanley. Oh, let's play the Cavs music.
Why does it
what happened?
How does it become that?
It's like we've been too spoiled. We've won too much. Cavs, you've won too much for Ken Carmen. He's now over it.
216-474-0092. How many people actually watched the game last night? How many people actually watched the game?
I went from being chastised from Anthony for not watching a Thunder Mavericks game,
exactly.
Was it? Or Rockets game? Or
exactly.
Two Western Conference teams to going, who cares? If you don't want to watch, don't watch.
He is the Mr. I don't care about anything. He doesn't care about anything. And now all of a sudden he's calling me. And I don't even think you care about this argument. Well, I think you're just trying to get me worked up.
With the Browns where they are, and there's going to be no offseason to speak of for the Guardians, if you don't care about this, I mean, what is there?
There's plenty of offseason to speak about. We were talking about cockfighting yesterday, for crying out loud. That's an offseason.
That's helping the Guardians get better.
It's not helping them get better, but you want an offseason intrigue, I got it. Roosters pecking at each other.
Just telling you,
in court today.
We have a
who's in court?
Class A's.
Class A's going to court today.
All right.
Law and order.
About little Jerry.
Let's get Dick Wolf on the show.
Is he there?
Talk about this. Talk about the Guardians of the offseason. Hell, this is the most intrigue we've had with the Guardians offseason. I disagree with you. However, all I was pointing out is that I wasn't going to this. I just wasn't going to say, hey, Cavs won, and that was great for 20 minutes. That's all I was going to say. That's all I wanted to say. It wasn't that we have to go to the Browns. The Browns ain't going anywhere. I'll get to the Browns. We'll talk bands. It'll happen. But damn, like, I felt a lot of people felt the same way I did. I think they woke up and went, hey, they won convincingly. All right. Nice win.
Wait, can you imagine if I came on Monday morning after the Browns beat the Miami Dolphins and said, great, great.
That's not what I meant when I said
now
great.
They won a game. Now I got to talk about them for 4 hours. And then the next day and the next day and the next day.
No one has to talk. No one has to talk about the Browns for 4 hours or the Cavs for 4 hours, clearly. Cavs report brought to you by the fine folks at Surfside.
Sure, they're going to love being tied to that.
Please drink responsibly. 6:14 and 52 seconds for those scoring.
Hell, you're not going to watch a basketball game, so drink responsibly.
Drink responsibly. I watched half the basketball game.
What about tonight now?
I have to sit there and watch the whole game tonight?
We got to do this again?
We got to do this
tonight. You got to do it again.
It's going to be easier. Game starts at 7. But
not
the game's
a cup game.
Is the game on NBA TV?
That also, I think you can still see him. FanDuel locally.
FanDuel.
Yeah. Oh.
Sometimes I can never figure out. Sometimes the NBA TV is blacked out for me. Sometimes it's not.
Oh.
Get your stuff together. Come on, NBA.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry I didn't watch it. Did you watch all 48 minutes?
Again? Yeah.
You did. You watched all 48 minutes? Man. You got a basketball guy over here, guys.
Well, I did toggle a little bit with the John Wayne Gacy documentary on Peacock. Now, they're simultaneous John Wayne Gacy documentaries on Peacock. Not only is there the drama, there's also the actual in-prison interviews.
What the
This is
F?
You. This, you spawned this. You got me interested in this
I
stuff.
I started watching the Eileen Wuornos thing while the Cavs game was on last night. I'm sorry. Boy, she was convincing. I've only got halfway through. I'm kind of on her side so far. That story she told about. Did you see that yet?
No.
Oh my God! That story about the first guy she killed.
Yeah.
She's convincing. That's all I'm saying. If I was on that jury, I'd be like, you know what?
I just watched the Charlize movie.
I watched. I like the documentaries. I like the documentaries. So you're watching serial killer shows. I'm watching serial killer documentaries all while the Cavs are going on. I just want to point out how serious of an enterprise this is for everybody and how much all you did was just get me worked up for 16 minutes.
The Gacy one, they don't show the crimes. At least I'm on the last episode. They have not showed one crime. And you're like, well, how could it be interesting if they don't show one crime? They do it very artfully.
And to finish up the James Garfield show, it's on Netflix.
Well, that was one.
It's new.
Explode into powder or something like that?
Death by Lightning.
That's it. Yeah, it's something. I got to show you what his doctors did to him during the break. I can't describe it on the air. It's left out of the show. I want to tell you what. We've come a long way when it comes. coming in hot is at 9:45 tomorrow. I don't need any RFK jokes. I'm just going to let you guys know that we've come a very long way when it comes to medicine since poor James Garfield was shot. 216-474-0092. Are you happy you made me out to be the major league bastard that you wanted me to be today?
I think more people agree with you.
But I'm not fighting. I don't want to turn it into a fight against paying attention to the Cavs. It was just, it did seem like it was a scheduled loss.
It did.
I got halfway through the game and I went, okay. And then that was it. Because I, frankly, I didn't want to be watching them and like go and then get mad at them for staying up the whole time. That's all I'm trying to say. All right, I'll get to you guys coming up next. 216-474-0092. I don't even want to tease what I wanted to bring up because then you're just going to kill me for that.
Go ahead. Do it.
No.
The people want to know.
No.
Do it.
Do it. Do it.
No.
No.
Fine. Dan Orlovsky didn't change my opinion much.
On the Cavs?
On Kevin Stefanski. Oh. But he didn't make me think there's one huge problem.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I mean, hell, you come after me. I said it was no big deal that he went to the game down in Louisville. You wanted to call Donovan Mitchell yesterday for going to the game to the Louisville game.
I don't think I was calling him out.
Oh, you didn't call him out yesterday?
No.
Sounded like calling him out to me. Owen?
I don't remember him calling him out.
Oh, don't you do that just to do that.
No, that's not. I never do that just to do that.
Yes, you do it. You're doing it right now just to do it. I see your face.
Put it up on the poll.
They can't see your face.
Does Owen do it just to do it?
Put that up there. Mitch. Owen does it. Owen don't do it.
Do it for Mitch. Mitch, do it. Don't do it. The do it poll.
What is it with the 80s movies where they had the cops do it by the book shirts? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know what that means. I'm just asking. I saw like four movies of the 80s and cops do it by the book. Like, what does that mean? Sorry. All right, here we go. You ready to do this?
Let's go to the phones.
I want to know what your problem is with all the people, by the way. What is your problem?
I don't think I have a problem. I think you're in the majority. I think a lot of people, last night was a tune out when they saw the lineup. When they saw who wasn't going to play, it seemed like a punt game. That's what most people were saying. They punted on last night's game.
Yes. I think a lot of people were expecting them to just kind of...
All I'm asking is, can we say something nice about them if they won a game that they were punting?
Yeah, why can't you say anything nice about a game that everybody thought that they were punting? I'm just not going to say anything mean about anybody who was like, nah, who are they starting? Okay, never mind. Like, I'm not going to say anything mean about them. It was November 12th in that game. And if they were starting the same starting five as they tried to do basically every game the last couple years, mm-hmm. and we wanted to do this, fine. But, and I'm going to get the phones here in a second, but if you're load managing, which clearly they were yesterday, Jalen Tyson's being evaluated for concussion, for crying out loud, so he's a little bit different. But when you're load managing and they're telling you, hey, you know, it's kind of the way it is, we're going to go out there, we're going to give an effort, but we're not putting our best out there on the floor, I think it's okay for a lot of fans to go, all right, well, I'm not going to give you my full attention. I think, and I don't think that anybody, if we're all fine with this, and by the way, this isn't to call out anybody. Certainly, I'm not calling out the fans. I'm not even calling out the Cavs. I said this during the LeBron era. When people, remember when Dan Dockich got all mad because LeBron didn't play in Indianapolis one day or something like that, and we had Dan on the show, and he's yelling at us, and we're kind of, I'm going back, I'm going, Dan, I don't care about their problems. I'm trying to win a championship. Somebody said they drove 12 hours to go to Indianapolis. I don't know. There's probably a game closer to you. Those signs, remember we did that whole thing? I drove so-and-so to see LeBron, and LeBron went there. I'm like, I don't even believe the sign. I think you're full of it. I think you're lying in my face right there. You could have went to plenty of other games that were closer. You didn't need to do that. There was the Memphis game, I remember, he didn't play, and people got all bent out of shape. And I go, I don't care. I'm trying to win a championship. And the Cavaliers are trying to win a championship. So if Donovan Mitchell wanted to go to Louisville to go see them play Kentucky in a rivalry game and then come on back and he was down on the bench and everybody was fine, who cares? I don't care. I am fine with that as long as you take care of your business. And it's not just winning. If they would have lost last night and everybody's out on the bench, you're still trying to take care of your business. But as long as you are, when you're out on the floor, doing everything that you can, that's perfectly fine. Because as somebody said to us, it's like, hey, how much can I really take away from the game? Like, I could try to get into the X's and O's. Is Craig Porter Jr. going to be out there in the fourth quarter in the NBA playoffs? Unless there's injuries.
Yeah, injuries. If injuries happen.
Unless there's injuries, he's not.
But what do we see?
And it's great to see Craig Porter Jr. out there.
What have we seen in the playoffs? Massive injuries. Every team. That's why they need to know if they can rely on guys.
And that's excellent. But I don't think I'm going to glean very much from a game in November in a game in April and May. I don't know if I'm going to do that. So I'm fine if a fan decided to watch the show about James Garfield or Eileen Wuornos or what was your one again? Was it
John Wayne Gacy?
Boy, you got a real thing for Gacy lately.
Yeah, two different documentaries.
What part are you at right now?
I'm on the last episode of the drama. I'm on the third episode of the documentary.
Is he in jail yet? Do they catch him yet?
Oh, he gets caught minute one of the first movie.
Oh, really?
Of the first episode. That's how they did it.
Now, how did they do it? Was it the fish dinner that the investigators went and he served them fish dinner and then the one went to the bathroom and the heat kicked on and they went, that don't smell
good.
That
was in the first episode.
Okay,
yeah.
that was all there? Okay, making sure. Did they find the body behind the garage?
I don't think they went into detail.
Okay, there was one out in the yard, too. And then remember, he said he buried one by some corner and then like later on after he died, they went and tried to exhume a bunch of bodies there over in one corner of Chicago. Kevin in University Heights. Don't ask me why I know. Kevin in University Heights, you're next up on the fan. Hello, Kevin.
Well, actually, it's Jeff, but that's okay. I'll be Kevin.
Well done. Mitch, how do you mix up Jeff?
Because we were talking about two different Kevins.
How do you mix up
And so finally,
Jeff
I think Mitch is guilty of just listening to the show.
We did it.
We finally did it. Our producer's listening
well
to the show.
Well done, Mitch. Well done. Go ahead, Jeff.
No problem. So, yes, I paid attention to the whole game. You know why? Because they are more entertaining with the so-called punting the game than watching the pitiful, pathetic, putrid joke of an embarrassment of a mistake on the lake that we see every Sunday. So, yeah, I watched it. And
now, wait a minute. See,
that's... Write these down.
See, this is what I don't
like. Did you use that before?
This is what I don't like, Jeff. I don't think the Cavs want to be used as some fodder to rub the Browns' nose in anything. I think they want Cavs fans to be Cavs fans, and I don't think you need to be a stronger Cavs fan just because you're mad at the Browns. I don't think that that's what they want.
Well, they're more entertaining to watch. They have been for the last umpteen years, too, that they've been more entertaining, and I like the effort, especially when you've got from not only Craig Porter Jr., but Thomas Bryant, who I like to see get more playing time because he brings a level of toughness physically that is, let's be honest, sometimes lacking. So I enjoyed it.
Okay. Jeff, thank you very much for the call. He watched the whole thing. Jeremy in Baltimore, Maryland. He's next up on the fan. He's listening on the free Odyssey app. Hello, Jeremy.
How you guys doing?
Doing well, Jim.
Usually, I agree with Lime on a lot of stuff, but I gotta say I agree with Ken on this one. I got 5 minutes into that game and was so bored, I was ready to watch the Andy Griffith Show. And I think that's a lot of people now because...
Is that a serial killer show, too?
You and Jeff Phelps.
Andy Griffith Show?
Yeah.
Serial killer show? What?
He's joking with you, Jeremy.
Who's the redhead? Didn't the redhead grow up to mutilate a bunch of bodies?
You guys don't even want to know what Otis was doing.
I fell for it. Yeah, you're good. I fell for it. But no, I think it's basketball in general. A lot of people are getting a little bored with it, and I'm more excited for hockey season than I am for the Cavs, first part of the Cavs season for the most part. So, but
Are you from that region originally?
No. So my family's all from the Akron-Canton area. So I came down here when I was a little kid. That's why I'm stuck.
Give me hockey, quick hockey storyline. Yeah, we should be monitoring.
Give me something right now.
I think it's coming up is going to be we're going to have a repeat of the USA versus Canada deal that we had last year, and that's not just NHL. It's just I think nationally. I think that's what a lot of people are looking forward to. I think that's the biggest storyline they should be coming up with is pushing that again.
Okay. Thank you very much, Jeremy. I appreciate the call. Yeah, if you're a hockey fan, give me a storyline. That's fine, too. Rodney in Litchfield, you're next up with the fan. Hello, Rodney.
Morning, gentlemen.
Hey. Morning, Rodney.
Well, the first thing I want to bring up is my buddy always tells me you only have to watch the fourth quarter in the NBA, and he's probably right 90% of the time.
Maybe even more. He's like, nowadays. Well, yeah, seriously. We talked about this with the three-point shooting. No lead is insurmountable with the three-point shooting.
The comment I want to make about Allen, I think you're blowing the wrong thing out of proportion.
Okay.
Well, first of all, he makes, whatever, $25, $30 million a year. Like you said, it's expected for him to do well most nights and not get pushed around by a 6'11", 190-pound guy, which happened a couple times in the first half. It didn't happen in the second half much. But listen to the comment the coach made about Porter. You guys haven't even played it yet.
Yeah, we did.
No, you didn't. You didn't play the comment I'm talking about.
Oh, what comment?
I had a man-to-man conversation with him this summer. Play that comment.
Oh, play.
Yeah, about things he needs to do to get better.
Listen to Rodney.
Actually fit into the team.
Well, listen to
man-to-man conversation, he said, I had with this young man. Player to coach.
I got
to
go find it. It's not in the cut sheet here.
That's my point. If that was being played, it'd make a little bit more sense what he said about the guy.
Rodney, if off the air at 5:30, you could call in to Mitch and tell him what cuts to have.
He's going
to
do it.
That's going to help us.
Can you start helping me out? Do the whole all sports. Well, first of all, if it's going to be if I'm going to be doing the big sports center, it's going to have to only be New York teams and Boston teams. I hate that channel anymore. I can't really stand it.
That's what we're here for.
We'll go find it. And Rodney, thank you very
much
for the call on the
Friday. Next Friday.
I appreciate you.
You can come out and see us in Broadview Heights if you want.
Yes, come to Broadview Heights.
Yeah. Hey, listen, and God
Bombers,
bless Kevin Mackey's family. Yeah, God bless Kevin Mackey's family and also Bernie Kosar's. I wish him the best.
I got text. I'm glad you brought that up, Rodney. Thank you very much for the call. I was getting text about Kevin Mackey yesterday. You know a lot of people in the basketball community who are big fans of Kevin Mackey. With Bernie, I will tell you, we were all texting Bernie yesterday. Seems to be in good spirits. Seems to be on a positive path right now. And we're hoping that he's going to be upright and all right. Still some woods to go through, clearly, with the liver.
The entire region and really Browns fans across the planet are praying for Bernie Kosar.
But he was texting all of us yesterday. So hopefully we're going in the right direction. We pray for him.
We do have Ashley Bastock coming up in about 40 minutes today. Darius Garland, the toe contusion.
The great toe.
I don't even really know how to feel when somebody says toe contusion, because in fairness, it's a toe contusion on the great toe that he just had surgery on.
Yeah.
So it feels like a bigger deal than just a toe contusion.
Google tells me a toe contusion is not that bad.
I don't know.
Google tells me it's like a 1 to 2 week thing. Now, I don't know if you trust Google, doctor. Google will tell you that
No, like this is not your private conversations with ChatGPT, right? Not,
no, I can't have ChatGPT thinking that I have a great toe contusion.
That's
so
true.
We had to move
it
this
might
one.
Impact its thoughts.
We had
you.
To move this one to Google. We wanted to make sure that this one was fine.
John's a great guy, but he's got a toe contusion. He must be a real wuss.
Anything questionable that they'll bring up later on, I move to the Google. I can't have ChatGPT thinking sour of me. And so Google tells me like 1 to 2 weeks shouldn't be that bad. That's what Google says.
So it's
Google will tell you a stub of your toe is cancer. So I'm like. Just, We're getting there.
I don't think that's what Google will tell you.
Google will tell you just about, in the very early days, Google would tell you just about anything leads to the worst results imaginable.
Oh, so it's like AI overview now.
It would scare the living daylights.
AI overview is always like, well, that's not correct.
You could have a headache that you know is just like take an Advil, call it a day. And the headache, if you read long enough, would tell you that you need to be in the ER instantly.
WebMD.
Oh, yeah.
My mom used to be a nurse's assistant, and that right around the time where WebMD first came out, it was the absolute bane of the existence of literally every person in the medical field.
For sure.
Somebody would be like, yeah, I got a fever of like 99.3. I think I'm dying. And they'd be like, well, no, that's not what WebMD said. It didn't say you're dying. It just said that yes, people who die can have fevers. Yes.
Right. It's like who went to medical school here to be able to tell you what you need to know.
I'm not going to go after the medical professionals.
I hope not.
Now the only thing is, like, guys, you don't have to walk. You don't have to look at your chart to know that I'm obese. You don't need to. I've had three doctors.
Are they like
in my
life. They look down to confirm that you're obese?
The first was Dr. Richmond when I was like. 18, and I just my new primary it goes the same way. They're walking in, they're looking at your chart, they don't see you yet, and they go, oh, Mr. Wilson, it appears that you are grossly overweight. And I'd be like,
you're like, well,
you
really?
Think you're breaking news to me? You see the number on the scale and you think that somebody who weighs 350 pounds doesn't think to themselves, I'm a fat ass?
Yeah, so the BMI, what does your BMI end up telling you? Obviously,
it's
not great things. But
it's
like,
outrageous.
The BMI will tell me not great things.
Yeah.
The BMI will use terms like obese, and I'm like, can we have a discussion?
When they say somebody who's 6'4" needs to be 200 pounds, I'm out on BMI.
Yeah, BMI is faulty. I don't know who came up with it, but it's been outdated for a while.
I'm going to tell BMI is thick thighs save lives.
They put it on the chart in the right side corner, and you're like, geez, I you're the only thing in life that calls me obese. I don't like it.
Yeah, I notice you don't have a shoulder measurement there for these bad boys. So I'm going to.
They can't tell muscle mass.
We got it. We got a BMI and then holy crap shoulders.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah, we're both. We've been cultivating mass for a while.
You know how Madden will have different ratings and you're like, what is that thing? And then it's like superstar ability or throw in traffic. If you're going to put BMI there, that's fine. Incredible calves. I need like calf game on fleek.
Does anybody ever point out that your calves look so strong because you are carrying a lot of weight consistently?
But there are fat guys with chicken legs.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I always assumed like a lot of big guys
just developed from years of carrying around.
That's kind of what I always thought. Yes. That is what I thought.
I just love the idea that from now on, we both need to do a scientific study of every time we see a grossly overweight person, we're like, I got to check out those gams.
I figured.
I got to know what this guy's rocking.
Well, grossly overweight is mean, but I figured if we saw Ken, I bet Ken would have great calves too. I just assumed.
I have always assumed Ken's more of a chicken leg man.
Ooh.
I mean, no. I mean, because here's the thing. No.
Yeah, because chicken leg Carmen. I didn't know that was a thing.
Ken's a big dude, but like,
yeah, as you're carrying around a lot of weight, you're gonna build up a lot of that's a lot of stuff you're carrying around.
I don't know. I just have never looked at him and thought this man's got some gams on him. That's all. I mean, don't make it weird, but I've just never thought that. Ken, if you've got gams on you and I'm doubting your calf game, I will immediately rescind this.
You're not the first person that has ever come up and told me as a larger human like they brag about their calves, though. So I just assume this is something that a lot of larger people tend to not only have but also then be very aware of.
Okay, so I this is profiling. You've talked to like two fat guys, and just because we both happen to have good calves,
existed on like, planet Earth for like 36 how, years. Did you have only talked to two fat guys?
No. But about their calves.
Okay.
Yeah. Like
I was gonna say.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that you don't have a huge plethora of experience talking to fat guys about calves. That's a very, very specific niche
internet. I think I've had so many conversations about it that I'm like, I guess I always thought it was a thing with fat guys. or bigger guys. I don't like calling you fat. That's not nice.
It would be accurate though.
I don't like it though. It doesn't feel good.
Yeah, but big guy, that's just, it's not really, I mean, I am a big guy, but it's not, fat's appropriate.
Right? It doesn't feel good though. I just don't like that.
Yeah,
I mean, you're giving me the Peterman pass.
Obesity.
Yes, you're telling me it's okay, so I'll know in the future it's okay. But I need to let you know I feel uncomfortable anytime I'm like as a fat person. That doesn't feel good.
Oh, that's weird. I think it's
that,
funny.
That feels. Oh, you do. Okay, good.
I think it's funny when people get mad about like, well, you know, you're a fat guy, and they're like, well, how dare you say that? It's like, okay, like do bald guys get mad when you're like, hey, well, as a bald man, because at some point you just can't beat the allegations, right?
It's a good point.
Yeah.
That's a good point. There's no difference to
now,
me. I get that.
When you say as a fat man, you then do have to add with great calves. Or shoulders. If you want to comment the shoulders.
Sure.
Yeah. You know when I was born, I've told this story a lot.
Yeah.
The OBGYN was like, we got a football player. Look at these shoulders. And my mom grabbed him by the tie and brought him up to her face. She leaned forward and said, will you shut the something up?
Well, she was in a lot of pain, I would imagine.
She was, because I have big shoulders.
You know, my father-in-law is an OBGYN. He's never told me about commenting on the baby when they come out. You had a different OBGYN.
You can't tell me you're not thinking, like, we got a real chonk here.
On-the-spot diagnosis. Of, oh, you got a football player, though. Like, you're ready to go.
Unfortunately, he didn't see my complete lack of ass, which just really hurt me in the whole...
I guess if you see...
Power to speed kind of thing.
If you see hundreds of babies, though, and you deliver hundreds of babies, you have the ones that are in the 1% have to stand out to you.
I think so.
You know what I mean? Like, they have to. It's like, oh, something different is happening here. I need to let people know this is not normal. This is the 1%.
Now, we should note we've got a self-identifying Gabriel Gobbler on the line here. Mm. I think we finally got a Gabriel Gobbler.
This is the first call in 9 months to be a Gabriel Gobbler.
All right. Gobble, gobble, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick, how's it going?
Jim, now, when you meet other Gabriel Gobblers, do you guys give like a turkey call? They're like, boo, boo, boo.
Oh, no, I don't meet many of them. Is this Jonathan with an H I'm talking to?
The only H is like after like the TH part of spelling it.
Okay, I'm just asking because I got that Brian with the I, and I know you don't like us. So,
well, you're not my favorite Brian's. I do like Brian with him. Bryan is my favorite. Yes.
I got you. Hey, I got so many things to say now. You talking about the fat guy stuff.
We got like 30
I got
seconds.
Great calves. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you do. You got great calves. I know you do.
All right. Gabriel Gobbler, though. You know what? This guy, we're not giving him a chance.
Because he stinks.
No, because you got no receivers, no line. Okay.
The guys are open. If you watch the tape, I'm going to say it. If you watch the tape, they do catch.
The one where he hit a guy right in the helmet?
Brian, you don't know if they can't catch because he's not throwing the ball to them. They're wide open.
Terrible. He's terrible.
Dylan Gabriel is terrible. You're right.
Come on.
All right, we got a boogie, okay?
All right.
Oh, Brian. Oh,
he's a tiny little guy.
That call did not go how he wanted it to go down. I'm gonna really defend it. This is it. I actually enjoyed the idea that somebody called in defending Dylan for a second there.
I enjoy the idea that if you go down to the Muni lot this weekend, you're just gonna hear a lot of people going bloo, bloo.
Yeah, you did that.
I did.
Yeah, you did that.
They're Gabriel Gobblers. It's a bunch of turkeys. The lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
We're going to go surfside with the Cavs here in just a moment. Let me clarify something, by the way. Talking about Dylan Gabriel, I was like, well, we can't get Cam Scadaboo there. I assumed that I got no references on social media or anything. I assumed you guys knew I was joking. Our boss didn't know I was joking. He's like, And I go, yeah, I know. It was a joke. I would rather put Cam Scadaboo in there than Dylan Gabriel. It's an insult. About the rookie of the week. Along with those other numbers, I go, you just needed to fill the six slots. By the way, wasn't it AFC? I knew he played in the NFC, and I also know that his ankle went one way, the rest of his leg went the other way, and he was looking down at it like, well, what do you want from me? Like, we didn't know this. Keith Roth over there, taking everything to heart. We good now? Thank God. All right, time to go surfsiding with the Cavs. Brought to you by the fine folks at Surfside. It's a Cavs update. Brought to you by the fine folks at Surfside. Always drink responsibly. I heard it's delicious, Surfside. can I feel a little bit, it's not that I feel bad about their situation. I'm not worried. I know their defense has been not good. I know that the shooting has been not great. They didn't play very good down in Miami. However, can I say, maybe I feel a little bit okay that I know nobody's playing tonight. They're all out for the most part. I mean, Jalen Tyson is out. Donovan is out. Jared Allen is out, correct? Darius Garland's obviously out.
Tyson has a concussion,
yes,
or symptoms.
Do I feel a little bit better about it? Can I say because last night Donovan Mitchell went to Louisville and went to the Louisville-Kentucky game? It's like, okay, the regular season, this part of the regular season, not that big of a deal.
Well, I think it's just the fact that it's November 12th. They've had a very, very uneven start to the year. No, yes. Nothing disastrous, although if the Garland injury was significant, that could be disastrous. But nothing that can't be fixed. They've tried a lot of different lineups. They are treating this almost like an extended preseason. It is early in the year for them to be kind of giving them a bye, like giving them time away from the team and allowing them, especially after they lost the first game. Like, if you just win the first game, I think everybody's like, whatever, you're in Miami twice, even though Miami is without their two best players, and you already lost to them once. You don't want to punt on another game just because that just can shift the mood around a basketball team pretty quickly.
Yeah. So you don't like this?
Think about it. Their whole staff is down in Miami. Like, they flew a lot of people down there.
So you don't like this decision to fly back?
I'd like to get some clarification on why that is, because there's a lot of they season ticket holders are down there. Like, this was like an important trip to them to spend some money following the Cavs. And if they're just going to go down there and punt on the second game, that's kind of surprising.
Well, it's still a trip to Miami.
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
I think that people would rather be in Miami in February, to be honest, but you can't pick and choose exactly when you can go to Miami if you're in the NBA. I think that some of this is like, hey, you're still going to Miami. It's like, okay, you have a trip to Miami. That's fun. Like, if I was a season ticket holder, I'm having a trip to Miami. That's fun. I'm still watching the NBA. Still getting to see that. Still getting to see some of the other guys play. I don't know. I just don't think it's that big of a deal. And was he being honored yesterday, Donovan? Because he flew back. Went to the Louisville game. That's a big game. Louisville, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
That's
a big game,
obviously. That's a rivalry game. I don't know if Donovan was being honored or anything like that. I wouldn't have minded if he wasn't being honored. I was saying is that it kind of, when Donovan speaks, we listen. When Donovan says, calm down, we calm down. Just by doing that, I was like, all right, the regular season isn't that big of a deal. It's kind of where I need it to be. Kind of a giant preseason for me right now.
Yeah, but that's also, I don't know if fans love that. I don't know if fans who, the ones that I'm not talking about,
no,
like the casual fans, though, like, but the people that are watching night in and night out.
I'm going to watch tonight.
And now it's, you know, it's what's the NBA, what has been one of the stigmas this year on the NBA? It's like, I got to run around to find all the games. I got to have all the streaming services. And now you're telling me that you're punting on a game, which, of course, the NBA, you can win on a game that you punt if you just shoot well. Like, that doesn't necessarily matter.
I think that they would look at it and go, wait a minute, didn't we think that the Jets were punting on the game on Sunday? They ended up beating us. Exactly. You shoot well, you can win a game. And it usually does happen at least once or probably a handful of times in the league. A team has a quote-unquote scheduled loss and goes out there and wins. They wake up on the right side of the bed and everything goes their way.
Yeah, it's just I think fans didn't think this would be a scheduled two losses when they didn't have their two best players.
No, probably not.
And they're like 7-point underdogs.
Why do you think, and this is going to elongate the Cavs update brought to you by Surfside, but I'm going to do it anyway. Why was Nick and Jonathan so annoyed by the term South Beach flu yesterday? They didn't like so many references to the South Beach flu?
I think so. Yeah, they had brought it up.
What's their problem with that? With that calling it the South Beach flu? Is it like a giant excuse for the Cavs?
Do they think that you can't just attribute every loss in Miami to that?
They seem to lose in Miami during the regular season a whole bunch.
Can we stop tweeting when the team's in Miami? Because every time I see a tweet, hey, the team's in Miami for a couple of nights, getting a couple nights in the warm weather.
That South Beach flu?
It's all I think about. I feel like it's a jinx going to Miami. Already very problematic.
There's two cities, though. That's it. It's Miami and it's Atlanta. When players go there, NBA teams, just they're different.
Wait till they get to a Vegas franchise.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? It's just the truth. Is that not just when the games are really mattering? Like the
thought
Cavs?
Has been that the teams now prepare for that. They prepare because of that's been the stigma of going down to Miami. It's almost become so cliche that when they go down there, they kind of make sure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah. But we, well, wait a minute. No, I think they plan around it anymore.
So they just punt on the games in Miami?
Not every game in Miami. I think there's different times where maybe you need it, but like they do this in L.A., don't they? Don't we have that L.A. conversation every year? Well, you know, they're spending three nights in L.A., and they got that day between when they're playing the Clippers and the Lakers. Like, we talk about this all the time when they go to some of these cities. Atlanta, we know why Atlanta's a pretty wild place. I think that, yeah, they plan around it going, okay, we take care of our business against Chicago on a Monday night, then we'll see what happens in Miami coming up on Wednesday night. I think that's the way a lot of teams spread. It's probably not the best way to go about it, but it's the way that I think is probably generally accepted, is it not?
I think it has been. The question is, are you just okay with that continuing to be the case?
They can blow off some steam.
Are we acting like teams can't do anything to win games in Miami now? Did Miami even have a great winning record at home?
Probably not.
So it's only the Cavs? None of the teams are susceptible to this?
I'm sure you would find other teams that do it. Maybe the Miami's just the place that we've designated as like, hey, you guys want to go on the road and
even
ass
though Atlanta,
off?
I mean, there's so many markets in the NBA. New York.
Well, he mentions it. Jonathan just mentioned Atlanta.
You can have fun in a ton of the markets.
Fun can you have in New York? I think anybody can have fun in New York in any weather, but I think it's a lot easier to have fun in Miami at any time than it is in New York in the middle of February.
The Cavs, I just real quick, just one thought that I'm wondering if people are monitoring.
Please.
So the Cavs are averaging 47 threes a night. They took third all-time record. 65 attempts in that loss to Miami. 32 between Sam Merrill and Donovan Mitchell alone, and neither, you know, really shot it all that well. So they are three ahead of the Boston Celtics. We know that's been their mantra forever. They're 15th in the league in three-point shooting percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Are we okay if this is going to be the Cavs all year? They're just going to take the most threes, and we'll just play the numbers on that. Because I'm telling you,
one's going to be okay.
I think that's why. That's a big reason why I think the Boston Celtics last year were down 3-1 when Jason Tatum went out with an injury against the Knicks. They just shot too many threes. Like, I don't think the Cavs are good. We have a lot of talent. Why does it need to be just pulling up and shooting threes?
Is it just to give guys the confidence to shoot threes to stretch out the floor? Because I think that, again, this year we're going to have to now more than ever understand that they got to work on things during the regular season. It's not just go out and win a bunch of games and it's going to carry on into the... There's a ramp-up period and we're going to have to hit that. We might actually have to flip the switch on the Cavs at some point this year. But I think there's going to be a lot of working on things, and maybe they're in there working on threes right now and getting guys able to shoot. I wish more of that was Evan Mobley, but we've talked about that part to death.
Boy, do we have stuff coming up today. Early here, 10:20, former Cavs guard Mark Price is going to join us. We're going to talk about Lenny Wilkins, Mark's first head coach in the NBA, and a guy who, boy, taught that group so much about basketball. Mark's going to join us at 10:20. Mary Kay Cabot at 11 o'clock. Terry Pluto of Cleveland.com. Coming up at 11:40, Terry has a new book out. Terry, love it. Why can't this team just find a quarterback? And other life thoughts in Brownstown. and then at 1:20, I'm very sorry to say that Amy Dash, our Odyssey Sports legal insider, is going to join us. Why am I sorry? Because we have to have her on. Because we have a legal issue that we have to figure out with a couple of our baseball pitchers. And I say our baseball pitchers, probably short term. Rather than long term.
Yeah, this feels very much like they're definitely month to month on the rent.
I couldn't agree more. We're going to get into the Browns big time during the show. Dan Orlovsky of the ESPN folks said something about Kevin Stefanski that has some people cringing and other people saying, yep, that's exactly what I think, which is exactly what I think. That's coming up later in the show. We're going to start with Cavs because Mark's coming up at 10:20. Cavaliers last night went to Miami. Dan, they lost a basketball game. Did they lose a point guard, which is the question that we all have to think about right now. The game was an entertaining game. A lot of points, a lot of threes. It was 140 to 138, Miami Heat in overtime. Defensive breakdown in overtime on an alley-oop to former Cavalier number one overall pick Andrew Wiggins to win that basketball game. But by the way, can I Can I just cringe about one thing? Cavaliers put up 65 three-pointers in the game.
That's very anti-you. That's a style of basketball you are not a fan of.
I'm not. The Miami Heat won. They put up 36. Just saying. Whatever. That's the deal. They hit the same percentage. But, you know, three is more than two, so the analytics say jack them up. Nonetheless, Darius Garland re-injured his big toe that was surgically repaired, that hindered him last season, that kept him out at the beginning of this season. That is a concern. He played 19 minutes. Forget his stats. He played 19 minutes, had to leave the game. Problem.
Massive. Massive problem. Now, problem in that the short term, I think, is the problem.
Yeah.
I wonder if we are going to find out how severe this re-injuring of the toe truly is. I wonder that because is this one of those where he's like, hey, I felt a bit of a twinge, and they were like, sit him down, get him done. Because
although he went back out.
Right.
He felt it, went back out. I'm no doctor.
Nor am I.
Scar tissue?
Maybe.
You know,
maybe
tearing up some of that. From a surgery?
Yeah.
Who knows? Hopefully it's not a really big injury because Darius is obviously critical to the success of this basketball team, and he's one heck of a basketball player.
But the thing, Jeff, we know what the end goal is, which is this team needs to find their way to at least the Eastern Conference Finals. And so anything you're going to do during the regular season is all going to be with the Eastern Conference Finals in mind. And so if Darius Garland comes to you and says, hey, my toe's bugging me, can I go back out and give it a whirl? And you're going to say to him, okay, fine, give it a whirl. But if you feel even the slightest bit more pain, tell me.
Which is what Kenny Atkinson did. Kenny said, I trust the players in that situation. And he felt like he was okay to go, so I let him go. I don't have an issue with that.
I don't either. It's why I actually don't really have a concern with him saying the big toe hurt and I need to take a step back. Because
except
my
for the fact that he was in serious pain. Yeah. Well, your goal is May. Big toes end careers.
Yes.
People, you know, if you've never had a big toe injury and you've never had an issue with it, you won't understand how debilitating it can be. You know, if your big toe is messed up and hurting, you can't walk properly, let alone run properly. And you can't walk pain-free. So we'll find out today. Cavs, we're going to have a practice today. But according to our buddy Chris Fedor from Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, they canceled practice. It was an overtime game. It went nuts. Darius got hurt. They're staying in Miami. This is one of those weird things where it's you're in Miami, day off, you're in Miami. And I've always wondered why they don't do more of that in the NBA rather than, hey, let's move everything from one hotel to another and put everybody on a plane and spend a lot of money. Obviously, they can make the money, and it's not an issue there. But I've always thought, you're there. Why don't you play, too?
I've always thought a similar idea, though. Again, having that much time off in South Beach with those
never
with
good.
A bunch of NBA players is never the best thing. Or MLB players.
The Cavs at one time had lost, I want to say it was 21 or 22 straight games in Miami. Having been to Miami with the Cavaliers, I can tell you I know why.
Mm-hmm. It happens. It's amazing how that happens.
You
find yourself in those situations. Yeah. You catch that South Beach flu, it just sneaks up on you.
Yeah, you sure do.
You know, that changing weather.
You sure
We've got snow here, and you know it messes with your sinuses.
You sure do.
Can't help it. But are you concerned with Darius Garland, or are you seeing this through kind of the long view of like, hey?
No, I'm concerned.
Okay.
Yeah, I am concerned. Long view, sure, great. As long as you're back by, you know, the All-Star break. You want to get... I'll take the long view. Great. If you're injured, be back by the All-Star break so the team can mesh before you get to the playoffs. But I think that's dismissive of the situation. This team is not playing as well as it did last year. They have some things they need to work on. One of them, to me, is Darius, Donovan, and Evan Mobley finding the right chemistry for the three of them. I think they're all three tremendous basketball players. I don't like the chemistry they've had in the past because the shot distribution and the way things have worked, I think, needs tweaked. You don't tweak that unless you're out on the floor together. That said, I hope he can be back on the floor soon enough because, as I said, those injuries can be huge I mean, they can shut you down. They can end your career. If you're a basketball player and you can't push off on your foot, and if you don't have a healthy big toe, you can't push off on your foot. That's bad. It's real bad.
Can I give you the, what's the best way to put this? Everything falls into place, though, for the worst reason possible situation.
Go ahead.
Does this somehow lead to Darius Garland becoming the sixth man off the bench for this team? And by that, I mean, this starts to go into place. Let's say, I don't know, they put Lonzo in the starting lineup. I don't think they should, because I very much am wrapping that guy in bubble wrap because I'm worried about his knee making its way through the whole season. But let's say they put Lonzo into the starting lineup. He becomes your primary point guard. You start playing him 25, 30 minutes a night. You take off. Everything kind of starts to click. It's the Jeff Phelps idea. Okay, we've got a little bit more length here. Donovan Mitchell is a primary scorer. Evan Mobley becomes a primary scorer. Jared Allen, which we'll get into a little bit later because our buddy Chris Fedor had a really eye-opening stat when it came to him. Jared Allen kind of finds his place inside of there. And then when he comes back, they don't want to interrupt that. Darius Garland becomes the super sub off the bench. Six man, come on in. You anchor the second unit and go to town from there. Do you buy that or am I wish casting?
You're wish casting.
Okay.
I think you're going to have a really hard time telling a young point guard who's been an all-star, hey, we're going to make you come off the bench now because it's better for the team. That's a tough sell.
Even after a guy's been paid?
That's a tough sell.
Even after he's been sitting on the bench watching success?
That's a tough sell.
Okay.
I hate that it's a tough sell because I think your idea is a great one. I do. And Darius coming off the bench is the... And I don't even want to call him a super sub. It's just a guy who's going to play 36 minutes. It's just going to, he's going to play it in a different way.
Right. And he'll be there in crunch time.
You know, for instance, Kevin McHale's in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin came off the bench for a huge chunk of his career in Boston. Why? Well, we got Robert Parrish here and we have Larry Bird here. It works better if I'm coming off the bench. He did it. His scoring was down a little bit because of it. His minutes were down a little bit because of it, but he's in the Hall of Fame. Why? Because he made that Celtics team click.
It's the Manu Ginobili theory with me, which I take nothing away from Manu Ginobili
for him.
With the fact that he was able to come off the bench, because I knew with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, that guy was on the floor.
Yeah.
Which is why I've never understood this whole thing of, oh my gosh, I'm a starter in the league. I don't want to come off the bench or anything. It's like, no, what matters is the last 4 minutes of a game, are you on the floor? Because if that's the case, then you are one of the five best players on this team and one of the five best players that can help bring this team a title. And so that's even why I'd look at Darius Garland and go, dude, it's fine that you're not starting. It's not like Andre Iguodala threw a fit because he wasn't starting over Kevon Looney or over Festus Ezeli or whoever else they had out there at that given time.
Anybody named Festus should be playing a lot.
It's a valid point. But they knew with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, that dude was on the floor.
Well, that makes perfect sense, but it's a tough sell. It is. Mark Price played point guard for the Cavaliers under one of the great point guards in NBA history, and that would be the late Lenny Wilkins, who just passed away over the weekend. Mark is going to join us to share his thoughts on his coach, on the Cavaliers coach, who really got this thing going when this team was at the Coliseum and we had what became one of the legendary teams in franchise history. Mark's next to talk Lenny, right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.